Three, two, one. Hi, this is Chuck Anderson. Nice having you with us today, and welcome to the show. We're broadcasting from Pierre, South Dakota, because a special event has taken place during this week. It's called South Dakotans in World War II. Since it's going to have an awful lot of people that gave their lives and the history of these people, we decided to drive out to Pierre so we could be with a lot of the people that will be remembering all of those that made such a tremendous sacrifice for the people of not only our state here in South Dakota, but the United States and the free world large. And to help us out, our first guest on the show today is George Summerside. George is the Veterans Education Program representative in the state office here at Pierre. And George, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chuck.
And George, first of all, we have something in common. I'm a Huron High School graduate, and so are you.
Yes, in 1969 I graduated from Huron High School. In 1985 I graduated from Huron University.
And besides George Summerside graduating as one of the celebrities, you also had another girl that went out and did pretty well for herself in your same class. Who was she?
Cheryl Stoppamore, or Cheryl Ladd now.
Most of us know her as Cheryl Ladd now.
Yes.
Hey, I appreciate the time. This is very busy. I know that all of the activities are sort of centering out of this building right now for the South Dakotans in World War II commemoration and celebration. But hey, this is it's a fabulous building. And us older people remember this as where the museum was really located. But the museum has now found a new home. And where is that at?
It's at the Cultural Heritage Center here in Pierre. It's basically about 8 blocks away from its original site here in the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Building.
This building in itself has quite a history. And tell us about it. The State Senate decided that something ought to be done, and what happened back in 1919?
They, by Senate Bill 71, they passed authorizing the establishment of a war memorial building. And in 1919, they had a fund drive established, and that was directed by A.N. Walters. And in 1929, the Chicago Northwestern Railroad offered the land for the war memorial as a gift.
You know, now a lot of people, George, forget how the railroads really did help the communities. Like, for example, back home in Huron, the host South Dakota State Fairgrounds was a gift from the railroads.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
Because this is an era where maybe the railroads have taken it on the chin, and I think that they deserve some public relations for what they've done in the past, because they've really helped us out. I used to have an antique shop for many years, so I got involved. I heard these various stories. There were some beautiful leaded stained glass windows in some churches up around Millette and Redfield up towards Aberdeen. And one day a guy was telling me, he says, "Do you know how we got those windows?" And I says, "No." He says, "The railroad donated the funds so that the church could have those glass windows." And, you know, that's pretty touching. And here we're standing right here, another gift from the railroad.
And my grandfather worked on the railroad for 50 years out of Redfield.
Is that right?
Yes, Frank Summerside. And, well, he's deceased now. So I'm very familiar with the railroad and some of its background. So, yeah, it is a special, you know, the railroad has done a lot of special things, and I think they still are.
Now, they gave us the land, but then what happened? How did all this happen here?
Basically, the construction of the memorial building was completed in 1932.
So that was a long time.
Yes, it was. It was basically about a couple of years after the gift, and the gift was accepted in 1931, and then basically in 32, the completion of the building. And then for a period of time, like you had said earlier, a museum was housed here.
Yes.
And then basically it was placed on the National Register in 1983.
I didn't know that, George.
Historical places. And then in 1990, our Department of Military and Veterans Affairs was placed in this building. And basically that housed our department secretary, the finance officer, the personnel director, and also the rest of the finance office for our department and the Division of Veterans Affairs. 2 years later, in 1992, Emergency and Disaster, another division within our department, came to the building, and they are housed on the second floor.
And this is really a beautiful building. Just historically and architecturally, I think of like a student out at the School of Mines or a serious architectural student at the university or SDSU. They ought to come into this building because I think, I don't see a nail in it, and I'll bet this whole thing was put together with pegs. I mean, we're just guessing, George. I know
I'm not sure about that construction, but I do know it's a very special building. And the symbolism where we stand, we're looking up at the broken column. And the broken column is the symbol, the fallen soldier or sailor. And behind that broken column is the window. It's basically an arched window. It's eternal light is to go over there and fall on that broken column to always shed light on the fallen. And behind the broken column is in Poppy's Fields, and I think everyone knows that verse from World War I. So in all the sandstone in the building, the remodeling that was done to the building kept in tune with what the building was all about. There's various different emblems of the organizations, World War II and on, World War I and on, various different ones that are important to our state.
Let's just keep walking, and a lot of flags up here. And tell us what we're going to be seeing.
This is the centerpiece. We're on the second floor of the building. And basically, we are going to honor the Medal of Honor winners that were either born in our state, went into the service from our state, or since their service, live in our state now. And at this point in time, we've identified 8 South Dakotans, we consider them South Dakotans, that are going to be placed on this memorial. The top of the memorial is basically going to have the lettering Hall of Honor. And as I said before, it's the centerpiece. Below that will be the 5 emblems of the military organizations. To the sides will be, we can walk over here.
Yeah, I recognize my bronze medal right up there, United States Marine Corps. Yeah, that's nice. They got us as number 2.
The reason for the configuration on the emblems is that the Medal of Honor, there are only 3 of them. There's 1 for each branch of the service. But the Marine Corps and the Coast Guard fall under the authorization of the United States Navy.
I see.
And to center it,
we've
properly,
always hated to admit that, George.
Me being a Navy veteran.
You were in the Navy, no wonder. Okay.
Below that,
they call them swabbies, didn't they?
That's, I think, what they, and a lot of other things. Especially Marines.
I can't remember any of the Marines except just nice words. The Navy always had nice words for the guys of the Marine Corps.
Some.
Now, any veteran out there knows we are really joking right now.
Yeah, we are. And there's a lot of camaraderie and kidding around in the different branches in which you served in. My former supervisor in the division, Larry Pearson, was a Marine. And our division,
I met Larry out here today, yeah.
And he's basically the overall coordinator of the event.
And for the people listening, George, the Medal of Honor is as high as it goes as an award given to a man in the military.
Yes, it is. It's called, actually, Congressional Medal of Honor.
And there are certain perks that go along with that, too.
There is a certain monthly rate of compensation, special compensation that is paid. I don't believe it's a high amount, reflecting on, if you read the citations over there, on what these men, in this case, accomplished. Basically, the Navy and the Army was at Civil War, and from that point on, we've had just over a little over 3,000 individuals that have received this highest honor. And just by the sheer number, when you're talking a little over 3,000 out of millions of soldiers and sailors that have served in the military, it goes a lot to say what these individuals did accomplish. If you look at the citations that are right over here.
Yeah, let's walk up there. Beautiful. I've never seen one before. Just the picture. Is this the real thing here?
And this is kind of a nice touch, too. James Bryan was the one that first did the photo to kind of give us a picture of how we were going to come up with the and he's a 1969 graduate of Huron High School.
No kidding.
And he's an artist in Huron. Each one will be an original right below for display purposes. The other thing is, any other metal you could basically buy from awards, decorations type businesses. This is one medal that you can't. And we had to go to great length to get authorization, even to have this medal, the three medals that we're going to have here in our building. And we're just having it as a display purpose.
Let's take a break right there, George. I'm visiting with George Summerside, the Veterans Education Program representative. We're at just a fabulous building. Tell us again the name of the building here so that people don't miss it. It's just right across from the Capitol.
It's the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Building.
We're going to be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Personalities with Chuck Anderson. 3, 2, 1. We're back. This is Chuck Anderson visiting with George. And George, I'm going to look at you. I want to make sure I get it right. George Summerside, Veterans Education, Pierce, South Dakota. You're more than that, as we had said in the first segment, and you've been involved with this fantastic Congressional Medal of Honor, Valor Hall, and called Hall of Honor?
Yes. Basically, this is just the centerpiece.
And just for South Dakotans.
Right. This is the centerpiece. It'll be flanked on the left by a tribute to our POWs and MIAs. And that'll be on the left. On the right will be a tribute to the American veteran. So this is just the beginning. This is the centerpiece, and appropriately so, a Congressional Medal of Honor winners. But it isn't the end of this project. It is an ongoing project.
It'll probably be ongoing for the rest of our lives, don't you think?
Well, as far as some of the data...
Updating.
The data information as far as the POWs and the MIAs that serve from South Dakota, that is a never-ending, it seems like, task of getting all the individuals that were actually POWs and MIAs during the various wars since our state was created.
Right next to this real, we're talking authentic, Congressional Medal of Honor that hangs here in the Hall of Honor here across the street from the South Dakota State Capitol. Right next to it are 8 citations. And I think in the fairness to all of the people of South Dakota, George, let's go through those. Let's name those people, and maybe you can give us just a short background of their heroism or what they did that brought the attention to Congress and the President of the United States to honor them as such.
Basically, we would probably begin with Charles Roberts. He's a Spanish-American War veteran. And his service was in Cuba, and he was awarded the decoration in El Cani, Cuba, 1st of July, 1898. And it was basically for his gallant rescue of wounded from front lines under heavy fire of the enemy.
And the next gentleman is a guy who's had to have lived in a cave for the last 50 years if you don't recognize this name.
Yes, his former Governor Foss. And he received the Medal of Honor during World War II for his heroism and courage. And he was a pilot during World War II. He was a Marine Corps pilot. And he received it for many of the feats that he accomplished in that area during World War II.
And this man, we remember him very well.
Leo Thorsness. Basically, he was born in Minnesota, and he entered service from our records from Minnesota. But he was a resident of our state for several years. And basically with...
Even ran for United States Senate.
Yes, he did.
Here in South Dakota.
So in view of that, his citation is for gallantry in Vietnam. Basically, he was a pilot also. The list of his accomplishments, along with former Governor Foss, is, I guess, too lengthy to go into at this time.
Well, let me just, because... So many people are familiar with Leo K. Thorsness. Let me just briefly say, as pilot of an F-105 aircraft, Lieutenant Colonel Thorsness was on a surface-to-air missile suppression mission over North Vietnam. And we're just reading right from the citation. Lieutenant Colonel Thorsness and his wingmen attacked and silenced a surface-to-air missile site with air-to-ground missiles and then destroyed a second surface-to-air missile site with bombs. In the attack on the second missile site, Lieutenant Colonel Thorsness's wingman was shot down by intensive anti-aircraft fire, and the two crew members abandoned their aircraft. And this is fabulous, George. If you could just take it right from there, what Lieutenant Colonel Thorsness did he circle the descending parachutes
to keep the crew members in sight and relay their position to the search and rescue center. During his maneuver, a MiG-17 was sighted in the area. Lieutenant Colonel Thorsness immediately initiated an attack and it destroyed the MiG. Because his aircraft was low on fuel, he was forced to depart the area in search of a tanker. Upon being advised that two helicopters were orbiting over the downed crew's position and that they were hostile MiGs in the air, posing a serious threat to the helicopters, Lieutenant Colonel Thorsness, despite his low fuel condition, decided to return alone through a hostile environment of surface-to-air missiles and anti-aircraft defenses to the downed crew's position.
And it goes on to say, as he approached the area, he spotted, now here's more trouble, George, he spotted four MiG-17 aircraft and immediately initiated an attack on the MiGs, damaging, now this guy's taking on four Russian MiGs, and he's all by himself, he damages one of the MiGs and driving the others away from the rescue scene. When it became apparent that an aircraft in the area was critically low on fuel and the crew would have to abandon the aircraft unless they could reach a tanker. This is fantastic. Lieutenant Colonel Thorsness, although critically short on fuel himself, helped to avert further possible loss of life and a friendly aircraft by recovering at a forward operating base, thus allowing the aircraft in emergency fuel condition to refuel safely. And just the last sentence there is certainly honorable, George. Lieutenant Colonel Thorsness's extraordinary heroism, self-sacrifice,
and personal bravery involving conspicuous risk of life were in the highest traditions of the military service and have reflected great credit upon himself in the United States Air Force. Going back to former Governor Foss, you know, he was credited with personally shooting down 23 Japanese planes and damaging others.
Isn't that something?
So each of these individuals that are the citations depict some extraordinary feats of bravery and valor.
Now, I wanted to read just that one to show you how extensive these citations come. Let's go on just briefly and mention the rest of these guys. Just briefly, we can mention.
I can't get in.
Okay. William C. Bianche, and he was a first lieutenant with the United States Army, 45th Infantry, Philippine Scouts.
Yeah, basically, he was born in Minnesota. He entered the service from Minnesota. At the time he was inducted from our research, he was going to SDSU. And basically, we even have a picture of him. He was to ROTC at that time.
So the people at state can be very proud of him.
Yes, they can. And he never made it back. He died on a prisoner of war ship returning during World War II. He is a World War II veteran.
He was obviously involved in that Bataan province over there where we were kind of beaten for some time. I had General Ted Spaulding on several years ago, and we had the full encounter of what happened. I mean, we just got pushed out on a peninsula, and you can't win them all, and we lost. And the Japanese took thousands of our people, prisoners, and Ted, who is going to be here today, I sure want to say hello to him. General Spaulding is, like, if I remember correctly, one of 40 or 50 people that survived out of possibly 50,000 that went on the march.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure on the statistics.
Incredible statistics.
Yes, it is. It was.
Let's go on with
Arlo Olson. He was born, he entered the service from Toronto, South Dakota. And basically what Arlo, of all the citations, he was killed in action. And the feats that he incurred up until the very end, he was a captain, and he thought of his men and the mission before he thought of himself. He would not allow himself to be medically evacuated until all his men were cared for.
And we hope that people have a chance to read these full citations, because it really goes into it.
I really believe that it's real important, because we can't do it justice to any of these unless you fully read them all. The next one I think would be special for the Huron area is Michael Fitzmaurice, which is basically a hometown boy.
Even though from Huron, South Dakota.
Yeah, basically I think it was Cabor, but he was born in North Dakota, and he I believe he entered the service either from Jamestown, North Dakota, or Fort Lewis, Washington. But Mike, from the times that I've known him and talked to him, has claimed Huron and Cabourg as his home and his home of record.
And he is a Congressional Medal of Honor winner himself.
Yes, he is, from the Vietnam War. And basically, Mike is now working in Sioux Falls at the Veterans Administration.
So any of the people from Huron and Cabourg listening right now, we sure urge them to stop sometime when they're coming through Pierre. Stop at this building, tell them the name of the building, right across from the state capitol.
Yes, and basically the memorial right now, we only have up at this point in time the emblems and the frame. We are hoping probably in the next 6 months to have the rest of the memorial. The citations are going to be basically depicted in a shadow box.
We have only several minutes left on this segment. I'm always sad to say that. Let's make sure that we don't miss these last two gentlemen, George.
The next gentleman was Herbert Littleton, and he went into the service from Black Hawk, South Dakota. He's United States Marine Corps, and he was a Korean veteran, and at the time, a grenade was thrown, and he threw himself on the grenade to save the rest of his crew.
Incredible bravery.
Died, killed in action.
And the last gentleman?
Yes, it's a General Brady, Patrick Henry Brady, and he was born in Phillips, South Dakota. He's basically a lifelong service. I do not know if he's still on active duty, but he is a Vietnam veteran. He did earn it during Vietnam, and he earned it for his gallantry in rescuing individuals from wounded individuals.
George,
he's a helicopter pilot.
I am so delighted that you took the time to show us the work that you're doing here at the Soldiers and Navy Memorial Building. Have I got it right?
No, Soldiers and Sailors Memorial
okay.
Building.
Okay, Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Building, directly across from the state capitol. And George, thank you ever so much, sir, for being with us.
Thank you for the time.
We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Personalities with Chuck Anderson. 3, 2, 1. We're back. This is Chuck Anderson, broadcasting from Pierre, South Dakota today. What a fabulous day it's been. We've had a lot of fun. We've visited with George Summerside, and we found out people that we can be very proud of, the 8 Congressional Medal of Honor winners. Right now, we have the 147th Band rehearsing for the festivities that will be here today, commemorating all of those South Dakotans who provided the health, safety, and well-being of this state, of this nation, and of the world. Let's just listen as the 147th Band performs in rehearsal their finale. On the grass of the state capitol, Pierre, South Dakota, 147th Army Band. Wonderful. We have, I keep running into her. I should probably get her on the show. I just interviewed you last week. You were the narrator for the Laura Ingalls Wilder pageant.
Yeah.
You were the old Laura Ingalls, who was
recently known as old Laura. Thank you very much.
Setting the stage for the 13-year-old Laura Ingalls. I had a chance to watch the show. It was fabulous. I enjoyed it. But here you are today. You will be an attraction for a half hour for all of the people who have gathered here throughout the state of South Dakota to honor all of those.
Yes, and it's
Gloria McCoy, by the way.
Right. It is an honor, and I've had the opportunity to sing for our veterans in hospitals, in nursing homes, and places like this, and other. I'm glad to come and donate my time. I feel like this is one way I can serve my country with my talents.
And it's very heartfelt. It's heartwarming. Especially, I noticed that you were really mixing with the crowd, the older gentlemen who are veterans from World War II.
Right.
And visiting with this pretty young woman, you really lifted their spirits. They were smiling and really quite happy.
Well, I know a lot of them just from coming to events like this and other things, but they're great people. You get to know them and you talk to them and learn of experiences that they've had and their heartfelt feelings about this country and their feelings as being a veteran, and I share mine with them, and there's a bond that comes there with that. And so it's a more than just professionally working, it's friendship and bonding together with these guys, and I enjoy it.
We had you on the show about a year ago, and I keep saying we got to have you back on the show again sometime. I think what I'm going to do, Gloria, and let's add that you're from DeSmet, South Dakota, originally a Missouri gal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And wound up somehow in Vermont for a while.
Right. Well, we kind of traveled around, Craig, you
but
know, with the government.
You found your place when your husband was moved mm-hmm. here through FAA, works right. in here in South Dakota, and you folks reside in DeSmet. Mm-hmm. And I might say that Gloria is, are you working on your second tape now? I've heard your first one. Hi, are you working on it?
Yeah, I haven't actually started recording. I'm spending some mind time on it, and I am putting together a tape called One Nation Under God. It is a patriotic mix with old favorite hymns.
Wouldn't that be a smash right here today?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing some sampling of what I have in mind.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm. I have plans. The plan is at this point in 1996 to sing at the American Legion National Convention in San Antonio. So
wow.
I'm hoping to have everything done by then and be on the road with the crew down there in that part of the country.
Maybe we can have you on later at another time, Gloria. You're always
right.
fun to have on the show. I want to thank Gloria McCoy from DeSmet, South Dakota, recording artist, for being with us today.
Thanks, Chuck. Good to see you.
Going down the street, we found a gentleman from Huron that all of us have been wondering what happened to him, Bob Puffer. And it's great seeing you here, Bob. I guess we had to come in from different sides of the state to get together. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. It's great to be here.
What are you doing now? Bob was the former president of the Huron Toastmasters Club, and we all sort of lost contact with you, Bob, so this would be a chance to tell all the guys in the club and the people at Huron that knew you so well over the years that you lived there what you're doing and where you're at.
Well, just fun to be here. We came out over here with the veterans, some of the World War II veterans from the State Veterans Home in Hot Springs, where my wife is the director of nursing, which is, of course, why we left Huron to move to Hot Springs. And she being the director of nursing, then we have a home there on the State Veterans Home grounds. You're looking forward to, you know, seeing any of you guys out our way, too. I'm sure we'll be up your way. My brother still farms up at Hitchcock, and so we do get up that way. We were up that way Memorial Day mm-hmm. and enjoyed some sights of Huron and got up to the big parade.
You didn't give us a call, Bob.
No, I didn't. But sometime I'm there on a Tuesday morning, you guys, I'm just going to be walking right in, you know, and we'll see you. I think maybe state fair time or something. Maybe we'll make
That's
it
right.
up.
The Toastmasters meet the second Tuesday, or is it the third? I can't remember. In September, we take our summer recess, and we're still at the library at the crossroads, and we meet every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. Bob, just tell the guys now what you are doing out in Hot Springs.
Well, I'm still working occasionally as a pharmacist. I worked at Southern Hills General Hospital for a couple of weeks, where a friend of mine, Pauline Staben, is the chief pharmacist there, and so I filled in for her for a couple of weeks. And now next week, Wednesday here, which is about the 13th of July, we're looking forward to heading out to California for 2 weeks. We're going to take all three of the kids, and we're going to head for California. We've never done this before, but my sister lives in Yankton, so we told her this was a test, and we're going to see if we can go all the way to California and back without the kids driving us nuts. But if they drive us nuts, then we're going to drop them off at Yankton at my sister's place while we check ourselves in for a while, and then we'll be recovered, and then we'll be picking them up and bringing them home.
Are you still driving that collector's, was it a Corvette?
Oh, yeah.
You had the original lettering on it. What did it say?
It was a pace car, because they were replicas of the pace car from 1978, when the Corvette was the pace car for the Indianapolis 500.
And you still got it?
Oh, yeah. I told my brother the other day, I says, you know, maybe I should part with that. You know, I don't really drive.
Yeah, I know a guy'd give you $25 for it right
really?
Now. Yeah. No, don't tell anybody, because it's a lot of bucks.
Yeah. But I says that to my brother, and he says, no. He says, don't do that. He says, if you get that hard up, he says, we'll take the horse trailer. We'll go out cattle rustling or something.
Bob Puffer, formerly of Huron, South Dakota. And we always enjoyed having Bob in the Toastmasters organization. Good luck to you out at Hot Springs, Bob.
Hey, it was fun running into you here, Chuck.
Bye. We've kind of headed up towards the reviewing stand, And with me is a gentleman that we had on the show several years ago, General Ted Spaulding. And General Spaulding, I saw that you're going to be on the program today. You had kind of a funny quip when you mentioned giving a few words.
Well, I simply mentioned that when I was a kid in college and doing some public speaking, I picked up a manual on public speaking. The first paragraph on the first page says you never accept an invitation to say a few words about an indefinite subject. And here I am.
It is one beautiful day here in Pierre.
Right.
And for our radio audience, tell us why you're up here, Ted.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the National Guard as it was operating in World War II, which is quite a while ago now. I think that's the theme of the day, is the Guard through the years.
If I remember from our interview, after you went through that horrible ordeal of the Bataan March, am I saying it right, Bataan?
Either way.
You were a survivor of many, many thousands that never made it. They take you to Korea at the very end. The Japanese have you in Korea in a prison camp, and that's where you were rescued. And if I remember correctly, no one really debriefed you for some time, and they asked you how you got through it. And do you remember what you told the psychiatrist?
Yes. I simply told him it hadn't been too tough. I spent 19 years in North Dakota.
Now, my wife is from North Dakota. She is going to appreciate that so very much. You know, North Dakota, according to a guest that Johnny Carson had on his show about 15, 20 years ago, he was a famous map maker. And the guy swore that North Dakota didn't exist. They really just made it up to fill in that spot when they drew the original boundary lines.
Well, it's good country with great people. And they have a sign outside of Minot that says 40 below keeps out the riffraff. And I think we get a kick out of it.
Is that why you left in 19 years?
Yeah.
It is. It's our privilege to have you on the show today. The parade is going to be spectacular. You're going to have a lot of the military units that I'm sure is going to bring back some memories for you, Ted.
It very well could.
How's retirement life been for you, sir?
Well, I've tried to avoid it. Still raising cattle.
Well, every time I called to get you on the interview a couple of years ago, you were always out in the field working.
Well, that's one thing to do that beats loping.
General Ted Spaulding from here in South Dakota. Thanks, Ted. We're just going to, we have a guest who's actually the host of this event. So we're going to just take our break right now so we don't have to hurry into this next segment. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Personalities with Chuck Anderson. 3, 2, 1. We're back. This is Chuck Anderson. We're at the South Dakota State Capitol today, broadcasting from Pierre, and we're here for a 50th celebration of the end of World War II, and more than that, we're celebrating the South Dakotans that were involved in that World War. And the host for this event, if I can say host, because it is kind of being put on by the South Dakota National Guard, is the Adjutant General of the State of South Dakota, General Sikoria. And welcome to the show, sir.
Yes, okay. Thank you. And let me say that it's actually being hosted by the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Remember the two roles I mentioned?
That's right.
It's hosted by the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs in the Veterans Division. So in the department, I have several divisions. I have the National Guard Division and the Veterans Division. And so it's through the Veterans Division and the department, with the help of the Veterans Commission, that's hosting this in behalf of the state of South Dakota.
What does an Adjutant General do, sir?
Well, the Adjutant General heads up the National Guard. I have command responsibility for the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard of the state of South Dakota. And in this other hat, with this other hat that I wear, is Secretary of the Department.
That's the one with two stars on it.
Well, they both have the same rank. The Adjutant General is a Major General position. Then I also head up the Veterans Affairs. That's why it's called the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. So in the Veterans Affairs part of it, I head up the Veterans Division and the State Veterans Home, which is at Hot Springs. And I also have responsibility for emergency and disaster. So the Division of Emergency Management is also in our building across the street here in the Soldiers and Sailors War Memorial.
George Summerine gave us a wonderful tour, and on this particular tape we did cover quite well, the 8 Congressional Medal of Honor winners from this state.
Yes. Well, that's going to be a wonderful tribute to our Congressional Medal of Honor recipients, and we're not finished, as you saw up there, but it will be a great tribute. And a couple of observations about this building. If you stand here in front of the Capitol and you look across the street as you are, you see the whole building as a monument to veterans. Like when you stand on the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., and you see the Lincoln Monument and the Washington Monument, the monument itself is a tribute. And the way it was built was a tribute to veterans. Then the other part of it is also functional for us. In other words, we house offices in there where we do veterans and National Guard business. So we're very grateful to the people of the state of South Dakota that even in the early 1900s said we ought to have a monument here, and that they made arrangements for this monument to be here. So we selected this as a site for the celebration for the World War II veterans, so that when you sit here and watch the parade, and when the people sit here and listen to the governor and Mr. Reno and the other great speakers, Ted Spaulding, prisoner of war from the March and Bataan, that while they're listening to that, they get to sit here and look at the South Dakota, one of the South Dakota tributes to the veterans of South Dakota.
And today, we're marking the 50th. And I asked my wife today, I says, when was World War II over? I says, it wasn't in VE Day, Victory of Europe, because we were still fighting the Japanese. But I says, I couldn't remember the end of the war with Japan. And she said, well, it's her birthday. VJ Day is July 9th. So I've just got to imagine you got as close to July 9th as possible.
Well, there were a number of reasons we chose this date. But one reason is this is also the 50th anniversary of the formation of the Division of Veterans Affairs. So we knew we had to have it in this window, because the window is from 1939 to 1945 and 50 years later. So there's actually quite a large window in there. But the main reason we picked this date was because it was the anniversary of the Veterans Division.
You've been a wonderful guest, sir. I know that you're very busy. You're kind of like everything, kind of parade marshal, kind of putting it all together. You have aides that are kind of pulling on your arm trying to get you away from this journalist. And we appreciate that. But if you get down to Huron sometime, I would love to have you on the show. And we can go more into length of what an adjutant general does in case of a natural or national disaster.
Sure.
Or if war threatens us.
Well, I'd like to accept that invitation. I really would like to do that. We have a great story to tell in the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs and in the National Guard, and I will accept that invitation. I want to come over and do that. I'd like to do it soon.
General Sikorsis, thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Bye now.
There's a lot of brass at the parade today, and I'm just going to go down, and I hope if the gentlemen don't mind, they'll give their name, rank, and where they're from.
My name's Ray Carpenter. I'm a lieutenant colonel from Rapid City.
Good having you, sir.
Thank you. Lieutenant Colonel Mike Gorman from Rapid City.
Now, I was just an enlisted guy in the Marine Corps, so I always feel a little not at ease too much around all the brass here, but now that I'm older, I think I'm over it, guys. And this is a wonderful day for a parade.
It's beautiful, beautiful.
Couldn't
ask for a better day.
Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. There's more gentlemen. Could I just get your name and where you're from, sir?
Command Sergeant Major Gerald Heismeyer from Chamberlain.
Command Sergeant Major Rich Herney from Sioux Falls.
Now, Chamberlain, you guys have some wild fishing down there. How's the fishing been at that big, big lake?
Been good up until 2 weeks ago. It finally took some summer hiatus, I think.
Now, I hear a band in the background. We're about time for the parade.
Yes,
we'll let you go. Thank you, sir.
How are you doing?
And with the band in the background, there's always kids available to be able to appreciate the music. Why don't you tell us your name and where you go to school at?
Jessica McGuire.
And where do you go to school?
I'm Tiffany.
Hey, what grade are you in?
Third.
Hey, can we get your name and where you're from?
Cindy McGuire from Aberdeen, South Dakota.
Good having you here at the state capitol. Beautiful day for a parade.
It sure is. Thank you.
Your name?
Krista McGuire.
And where are you from, Krista?
Aberdeen, South Dakota.
Hey, are you all traveling together here?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice just to sit here on the steps of the state capitol and have them bring the entertainment to you.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Todd Chapin from Havana, North Dakota.
North Dakota. We were just talking about North Dakota. You'll have to listen to the show to see what the guy said.
I'm Carol Lapp. I'm from Pierre.
I'm Allegra Gomez, and I'm from Pierre.
Rob Hutchinson from Pierre.
Wow, and do you think that the little one would give the name? Sometimes they get real shy.
You say Connor.
What's your name, honey?
Say Connor.
He's got his tongue out. He's got to eat the microphone. Well,
Connor's from Pier 2.
Hey, okay, and it must be in high school?
Third grade.
Your name, sir?
Robert Jones.
And you're from?
Eureka.
And we're all going to stand at attention right now with the flags going by. American flags going by right now. It's another flag being brought up, and the band in the background is the 147th Army National Band. Did a tremendously smart salute to his ultimate boss, the Adjutant General. I used to have a cousin that played in that band. John Muse, if you're out there, a doctor now in Platte, South Dakota. So, John, they still need a good trumpet if you need a job there part-time. We're standing right next to the reviewing stand. More brass than I've seen in an awful long time. And flanking them on all sides are howitzers and a huge cannon that the National Guard has brought in. More flags going by.
Oh, look at the feathers.
This will be a unit coming by right now, marching. And a very sharp-looking outfit. It'll be fun to watch them give a salute to their big boss, the Adjutant General. Eyes front, they're marching away, you know. Wow, I'd be kind of nervous if it were I. That's the big boss. The Commissioner of Public Lands.
How are you doing today, Chuck?
I'm doing very well. And public lands, public schools?
School and public lands,
yeah.
Both.
Because without the land, you haven't got the schools.
Right. Well, it's the purpose was for the land to help support the schools, so that's why the title includes both.
We're on the sidewalk, just right, about 100 feet down from the front steps of the State Capitol building. Just an absolutely perfect day for a parade, sir.
Oh, isn't it lovely? It's just really beautiful. Nice day and a nice parade.
Did you notice how they flank the generals up there in the reviewing section with all of the armored cannon? Does that mean something?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they need the protection, but maybe it's a nice symbolic gesture that way.
Well, Gloria McCoy, we wanted to record some of her. There goes Gloria in a convertible right now. She's from our part of the state, right, at DeSmet.
Yes, she's an excellent singer, and I'm looking forward to hearing her a little later on in the program. I think that'll be really a treat.
She'll be doing a half-hour performance here and kind of sharing it with the 147th band, a good band that went by.
Oh, that was an excellent band. Yes, that was. From Mitchell, it's nice to hear them and nice to hear the marching music and all of the flags.
We've moved from the reviewing stand for the parade to the beautiful front gardens of the South Dakota State Capitol and Pier, where the actual celebration will be taking place in just a few minutes. The dignitaries and the public have just had a chance to be entertained for the last half hour by one of South Dakota's fine recording artists and country gospel singers, Glory McCoy from DeSmet, South Dakota. We are going to close the show with Glory McCoy live from Pier. So let my last words to you before Gloria sings for all of us and closes the show with a thank you. Let me say thank you for this opportunity to be part of your morning's entertainment, and thanks for being with us. This is Chuck Anderson saying have a safe and successful week. Now, Glory McCoy live from the Capitol grounds to close our show.
You are
Thank you.